Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. America, you know
yes,
you
sir.
Shout out to my boy, JQ, as always. Here we go.
Hey, man, you know, I do what I can do. Just try to do what I can do.
Love it. We talk about just a little pregame here. Man, America, welcome. Of course, you know that sound. You know the drill. It's Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's also Happy Festivus, man, if you kind of want to go that route, too. But today, of course, is December the 23rd, and you are officially, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. No more fines for me. I'm not ear-holing my co-host, but, you know, hopefully I didn't bring any bats behind the scenes, man. But this is what we're going to do. Let's kind of introduce them. Let's introduce my man, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Trying to get ready for these holidays like everybody else, I guess.
I love it. He is ready. He's ready to go. He's finished shopping. No last-minute stuff for him. My other co-host, T-Rob. Rob Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Just got back in from Minneapolis today, ready for the holidays. You know, JQ, man, you better hit that gym before you start eating on Friday, Doc.
Oh, no, man, I've given myself the week off. I hit it back on Monday. That's a lie. I hit it back probably on Wednesday because the bagel's going to be on Monday night.
He's the lid. Hey, come Wednesday, you're going to be saying January 1st, Andre.
No, man. Yeah, maybe you're probably right.
As we always do, we always have fun, America. Let's throw out the numbers. You guys are more than welcome to join us, as we always throw those out there. You want to reach out, call us, show us some love here. The numbers to call are 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. We're also on Twitter. If you go to the number, if you type in the number 12, THMAN Sports, that is our handle. And then finally, we're also on Facebook. You go to Facebook.com, put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that capacity as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to get into. And as Robert always likes to do, we like to pack it in for this little pre-holiday celebration, just like kind of the Whovilles here. Let's kick it right off here. The Broncos are going to start Brock Osweiler for the sixth straight game on Monday night. Rob, what does this mean for the Broncos? Is this that Peyton is kind of like right off the sunset, or what are your thoughts about this, Rob?
Well, I mean, I personally think it's the right decision for the Broncos. I know it's kind of hard when you have a living legend on your team in Peyton Manning. But, you know, prior to this injury, you got to look at Peyton Manning's stats with 9 touchdowns, with 17 INTs. He was really struggling. And I say you just sit the guy down for the rest of the season and you take your chances. I mean, at this point, I mean, I don't think the Broncos are a Super Bowl contender with or without Peyton Manning. So, I mean, I think at this point in the season, I think you want to give Osweiler every chance to succeed and see what you have at that quarterback position going forward and see if this is a guy you can build your team around going forward or if you need to address the quarterback position in off season. So I think it's the right move for Denver.
I ain't going out with a fight, JQ.
I agree with part of that. I think that they should let him play now that, in the regular season. I think he's going to be good enough over these next two games to just get one and win that division, get them in the playoffs. But if I was the Broncos, I would have Peyton working diligently on the sideline. And the reason why I say that is the struggles that Osweiler has had, especially in the second halves, the past couple of games. You don't know how much more time you have with Peyton. And I think he's close, but he's not there yet. And I think they have to restrain themselves from trying to put him out there before he's ready. I think they can win, if not, you know, Monday. Of course, I'm rooting for Cincinnati. But I think they can at least win week 17 and assure themselves a playoff spot. And then you look at it and say, okay, is Peyton where he needs to be? Because, I mean, I hear what you're saying with the diminished arm strength and he was hurt. But I still feel like I'm going to go down with the guy that's been there before. And if he looks anything like Peyton that we're used to seeing, he plays in the playoffs. But I don't think he should play before the playoffs and only play in the playoffs unless he's the Peyton that we've all come to know and love. And if he's anything 80% or less than that, then you can't play him.
All right. Very interesting. I love it. Good perspective on both sides of that. I'm kind of like you, Rob, in that I think it's interesting. Don't let him go out. It's been a great – he's a living legend, so just kind of like, you know, you don't want him to be tainted anymore too, man, in spite of what he's gone through. So, you know, Peyton may have other things to say, but like you said, we'll see how the Broncos are going to do that, and we'll see what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks here, obviously. We got some really great games coming up, guys, here, and these are some really great matchups. So kudos to the NFL for kind of putting these games together here. Let's kick it off, guys, with the Patriots at the Jets. You know, the Patriots, you know, clearly they are doing their thing. They're having a ton of injuries, but they just keep signing folks. And the ageless wonder, Steven Jackson, was just signed. You know, just interesting things here. And then surprisingly,
you gotta
we've
be
got
60
Todd
years
Bowles,
old, isn't he?
At least 60. Then you got Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles is really, guys, pretty surprising. Done a great job with the Jets. So let's kind of talk us off of this game. Patriots and the Jets, what are your thoughts about this matchup? JQ, let's kind of kick it off with you, sir.
Well, until the Jets show me that they can beat the Patriots on a regular basis, no matter where it's played, in New York or in Boston, I'm going to err on the side with, you know, Brady and Belichick, as much as it pains me to say that. And you guys can have an attestment to this. Playing fantasy football, you watch all the games, right? And the Patriots don't seem to be a whole lot. And even when I got the Red Zone channel, and what I heard them say and watched them do is that they take Butler and put him on the second-best wide receiver and man coverage him. So that would be Decker. And he's been doing a good job of taking that second wide receiver away. And then you put your second cornerback on Brandon Marshall, but you give him safety help over the top. And I think they're going to do the same thing this week. And I don't think Edelman is going to be, you know, 100% for the Patriots. I think Amendola's definitely not. He may not even play. I think Rob is back. But when you're at the point of signing Steven Jackson, you're going to be a little bit handicapped here. I think you get more bold than James White. I think the Patriots win just because of that defensive game plan and the fact that they have a tendency to beat the Jets, you know, when it matters. And it's not going to be a blowout. You know, 3 to 7 points, I think the Patriots win by.
Yeah, good call. Rob, what do you think about this, sir?
That's interesting. I know earlier in the year, JQ picked the Jets to win in New England. And now the Jets at home. And now the Jets at home, you're going with the Patriots. And what's interesting is I picked the Patriots in that first game, but now I'm going to pick the Jets, so we're both changing here in the game. And so I'm going to actually go with the Jets with a, you know, a slight up. This is a must-win situation for the Jets. And I know we're going to get into the playoff picture here in just a second, but, you know, Pittsburgh now holds that number 6 spot, and the Jets is number 7 as a result. The Jets, even though they won, they beat an NFC team, and the Steelers beat an AFC team, and so they improved their conference record, so they jumped the Jets in the playoffs right now. So this is a must-win for the Jets if they're going to have any chance to get into the playoffs, because the Steelers are hot. And I think they find a way to win this game. I think a real close game. I like the improvement of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, this is the best I've seen him play since he's been in the NFL. Got two solid receivers. I like the breakdown that JQ just mentioned with Malcolm Butler, who's going to the Pro Bowl, by the way, after being a reserve cornerback last year. So he's definitely improved his game tremendously. But I'm going to go with the Jets and that defense, the running game, and I think that I'm going to go with a mild upset here and then winning a close one.
Hold on, real fast, Ray. I want to just say that, and he's right. I did pick the Patriots because I wasn't sold on the secondary, and that was one of my biggest question marks for them. But watching them this year go through and now the strategy they've employed and watching Butler, like you just mentioned, make that leap from reserve cornerback to basically shutting down everybody's second wide receiver, I didn't know that he could do that yet. So now that I've watched him do that, I think that's the difference where they slow that passing game down for the Jets. And really, Chris Ivory hasn't looked all that great here recently, and the Patriots just find a way. So that was the reason why I switched. But, yeah, you called me out. Appreciate it. Yeah, I did. But the maturation of the maturation of the New England secondary is the reason why
I know it's a big risk with me picking the Jets because, you know, it's hard to bet against Tom Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job, fellas. Another great matchup, guys. Green Bay at Arizona. Arizona a little reeling, obviously losing Tyrann Mathieu for the season with that torn ACL. I want to know, Rob, do you think it kind of affects them going into the playoffs or if they're just kind of going to retool here? So if that's a big blow to their team, Rob. Go ahead, sir.
Well, obviously, I think it's a big blow because, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, believe it or not, is one of the most versatile defensive backs in the league. You can put him at safety. You can put him at slot corner. You can put him in the outside corner. So he's a very versatile DB. You can move all over the field. And he's a ball hawk. For some reason, even going back to the days at LSU, he finds himself around the football, whether it's forcing fumbles, getting interceptions. So it's definitely a big blow. Arizona does give Rashad Johnson back this coming week. So you do have somebody that can, you know, slightly, not the player Mathieu is, but he's a decent ball player. I think this is definitely a big blow for Arizona. I mean, I still think overall they're a pretty good team. And you know, I still like for them to win this game at home against Green Bay.
JQ.
Everything that he just said, when you talk about Mathieu, he's just special. And he, like you say, he's a ball hawk. He finds himself around the ball. Not only when he finds himself around the ball, he does something with it. So they have a good defense, don't get me wrong, but they don't have anybody that's special where they can plug and play. They're physical, and they're going to, with Peterson on one side, you know, they're going to play that press corner style and get after you. But when you have somebody that's special playing safety and, you know, both safety spots, and not just one, you know, he can play on both, if I, like you, Rob just said, in the slot corner and outside. But against Green Bay, they've shown this year, without Jordy Nelson, they don't have anybody really that consistently take the top off of a defense. And their wide receivers struggle to get off of press coverage, and that's what Arizona excels at. And I can see Peterson just taking Randall Cobb totally out of this game, and you can match up pretty much everywhere else. And that defensive line from Arizona, I think, is going to give that Green Bay offensive line fits. So I think they win, you know, 7 to 10 points. But moving down the line, that's a big blow for them trying to win the Super Bowl. He's special.
Look at JQ offering analysis. Love it, man. What? Getting ready. Saving the best for last. I guess there's somebody that's a Bengals fan here. The Bengals at Denver. So battle of the backup sort of QBs here. A.J. McCarron. I'm excited to see this game because I want to see how A.J. plays. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you never miss up until it's gone with Andy Dalton being gone. And everyone was kind of like giving him a hard time. And then now they're like, oh, please bring him back. But we'll see if A.J. McCarron does a good job, and if this creates a quarterback controversy. So, yes, JQ, I'm going to start it off with you, since at Denver. What's happening, sir?
So, yeah, I touched on that, and I felt that way a little bit. But like I told you before, A.J.'s a winner. And he's won, you know, back-to-back championships in college, which is damn near impossible to do, that he's done it. I like his moxie. He's got enough tough one. It's hard to have your first two starts be on the road at San Francisco and then at Denver. But Osweiler, like I spoke about earlier, has not really been good in the second half. He's only looking at one side of the field to the first wide receiver, and if he's not covered, then he's dumping down. And teams are starting to latch onto that. So I expect Cincinnati to be aggressive in that piece. It comes down to A.J. making sure the Bengals stay ahead of the of the chains and stay on schedule. Second and sevens, third and threes, third and fours. I think it's a big Gio Bernard game where they're not going to be able to line up and run Hill downhill in between the tackles. They're going to have to take that playbook that Pittsburgh did in the second half against Denver, where they spread them out and went three wides, and then use D'Angelo Williams underneath a lot as their blueprint for whatever we have in our playbook. Anything that resembles that kind of game plan, let's use that and spread them out, and not let them just pin their ears back and come downhill and try to stop the run game because they feel like we're trying to game manage with A.J. They're going to have to give him a little bit of latitude, but I like his moxie. And I'm going to surprise you because I don't normally pick them, but I'm going to take Cincinnati against Osweiler on Monday night to win in a 5-point game.
I really didn't see that one coming, JQ. I'm surprised you picked the Bengals right there. Rob Ford, what's up with JQ? Is he on point, or does he have rose-colored glasses here with AJ McCarron? What are your thoughts about this?
Well, this is a big game, first off. You know, this is pretty much for the number two seed in the AFC. Who's going to get that other bye in the AFC? So I think this, you know, this is a big game. And possibly this is a game that you want to avoid having to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in that first round of the playoffs, too. And the Steelers, of course, are one of the hottest teams in the league. In my opinion, might be the one team that could derail the Patriots in the AFC. So this is definitely a huge game for the Broncos and the Bengals. And I agree with JQ here. I like the Bengals in this game. I think it's going to be – I don't think you're going to see a 34-27 kind of game we saw with the Steelers and the Broncos. I'm thinking somewhere around 20-17, a little bit more of a low-scoring game. These are two very good defenses as well, and they're both going up against, you know, technically backup quarterbacks in this game. So I like the Bengals in somewhat of a 20-17 road victory and at least clinch, you know, a home first-round bye here in the playoffs. And they're not out of the woods yet for even getting the number one seed in the AFC, too. So that's still up for grabs for the Bengals here. But I like the Bengals in a close one.
Hey, my man, Rob.
He's sucking up. He wants a gift from you, JQ. That's all he wants.
Hey.
I don't know, man. Hey,
yeah, Merry Christmas.
Hey, man, I'm not doing you well for that one.
Gentlemen, we're about 13 minutes left here in the show here, about 14, if you will. But let's set the NFL playoff picture, Rob. I'm going to kick it off with you, sir, as we get ready for the playoff picture, sir.
Yeah, I know we briefly touched into it a little bit, but let's look at the complete picture here. New England is still holding the number one spot in the AFC. We just talked about how important that 2-3 seed is here. Cincinnati right now is the 2 seed. Denver is the 3. Houston at 7-7, holding the number 4 seed. Kansas City, number 5, and as we briefly explained, Pittsburgh jumped the Jets, even though they have the same records at 9-5. Pittsburgh won the AFC matchup. The Jets beat the Cowboys. So with the strength of the AFC conference record, Pittsburgh moves into the number 6 spot. But the Jets are still on the outside looking in at 9-5. So that's going to be interesting. Those 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Of course, Houston is 7-7. They'll just... If they win their division, they'll get in with somewhat of a mediocre record. But those other teams are all kind of bunched together there in the AFC. If we look at the NFC here, of course, Carolina 14-0, Arizona 12-2, holding the 2 spot. You got Green Bay at the 3, Washington at 7-7 at the number 4 spot. They got a big game at Philadelphia, which could be for the division title in the NFC East. You got number 5, Seattle, and Minnesota holding down the number 6 spot. I know we briefly talked about this last week, but Seattle at number 5 going on the road in the playoffs to face whoever wins the NFC East. And there's a good chance if they win that game, they'll be placing Carolina in that second round. That would be a great matchup for the way both those teams are playing right now.
Any thoughts on that, JQ?
Yeah, that's pretty comprehensive, and that is one of those big ones. Just one more to throw in there, that I think there are a couple scenarios which probably will happen where you'll have that Green Bay-Minnesota game next week be a play-in, not a play-in, basically playing for the NFC North title, and it may make this Sunday night's game with the Vikings and the Giants obsolete. I believe it's if it's Green Bay loses at Arizona, which I think will happen, which we talked about earlier, or something else that is very likely to happen as well. I forget the exact matchup. So that's interesting. It will come down next week to a Minnesota, probably Green Bay, NFC North championship game, so to speak. And then in the AFC, it's all about that three, you know, team tease. I think, you know, the Bengals have already made it, and I think they're going to win next week against the Ravens at home against Matt Schaub or Ryan Mallett.
Yeah.
So it comes down to who's going to get in from the AFC and the wild card. So that's been really actually fun to watch between Kansas City getting on that roll, Pittsburgh being as hot as anybody else, and then the Jets just quietly playing good fundamental football with a good defense and Ryan Fitzpatrick leading that offense.
Good call. All right, so great job setting the playoff picture for both you guys, and, you know, we're going to keep going with that. Like I said, it's going to be exciting. Each NFL season is, so, you know, we are – definitely looking forward to the playoffs, and it's going to be some good matches coming up. And like I said, I just want to give the NFL kudos for setting some pretty good matchups towards the end of the season to keep us engaged. Because sometimes, you know, they're kind of like have these little whatever games, and this is going to be pretty exciting, I think, going into the final couple of weeks here. All right, unless you guys have been under a rock, this topic has been going crazy Odell Beckham, not only for just regular purposes, but for fantasy reasons too. Everyone's freaking out, man, about Odell Beckham. And so obviously we know the story's just been happening here, them and him and Josh Norman kind of getting here. Josh Norman got fined with we got hit with a $26,000 fine, I guess $13,000 for each hit, if you will, which I think is pretty light. Odell Beckham obviously gets his suspension upheld. If you didn't see, he kind of tweeted the whole world kind of apologizing, talking about sportsmanship and whatnot. JQ, is there anything you want to add to this as far as the suspension here? We know that's pretty much deserved, but is there anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that was light. A couple of things. The refs should have thrown him out in that game. He probably wouldn't have been suspended for this game if he'd have got ejected. And I'm looking at Tom Coughlin, and it made me look at how desperate that he is being on the hot seat, because it reminds me of what Mike Singletary did when he pulled Vernon Davis off and then sent him to the locker room. Like, this is not how we're going to conduct ourselves, and if you can't get it together, you got to go. I really have never seen anybody, take off from that far away and just dive into a pure helmet-to-helmet hit. He's very lucky that Josh Norman didn't get concussed or break his jaw, because I think he would have suspended probably for the rest of the year. So he's lucky in that instance. And just a small point, yes, I'm actually in one of my leagues in the championship game, and the person I'm playing as Odell Beckham Jr., but, of course, I've got Drew Brees with the torn plantar fasciitis, so it all cancels out. But this was crazy. They didn't handle it well on the field from the refs and the coach's perspective, so you knew this was going to happen. He had to be suspended.
Rob, what are your thoughts, sir?
Oh, no doubt about it. I totally agree. I thought the officials mishandled the situation during the game as well, too. This is something that should have been taken care of early in the football game when this first started happening. Talk to those players, talk to the coaches. It just got way out of hand, and I felt like Odell Beckham should have been ejected during the actual game. You can make a case that Josh Norman could have been ejected, too. But definitely Beckham should have been ejected for his behavior in this game. And, rightfully so for the suspension. You can almost make a case that he could have got two games, but I think one game was fair in this particular situation. You just put your ball club in the bind for this coming weekend, and, they still have an outside chance of winning the division. And so, it really just hurts their ball club with its behavior. And hopefully he's still a young receiver. Hopefully he's going to grow up and he's going to learn from this. But, that was just horrible actions on his part, just not thinking.
I agree with both you guys on a couple of those points regarding, Rob, make sure that the refs did not do a good job of handling everything. But I will say, gentlemen, that let's kind of look at it on a bigger scale in that if Odell Beckham is pretty much a star, I don't think they're going to inject him because – he's a star, so you had the opportunity right there. It's a pretty primetime game, Giants and Panthers. I was hoping to catch it on the NFL replay because just the hype behind it. But, that's kind of what I think that kind of played into it too, guys, and that they're like, well, we don't want to eject him because, he's a star. And clearly it did help towards the end of the game because he put him back and tied it up too. So I think that may have had something to do with that a little bit. But like you said, if you would have done a good job as far as controlling it, maybe it wouldn't have come to that extreme as far as, like JQ said, your boy had like a running 15-yard start and just launched himself, man. So, it was just, I'm like, whoa, so that was kind of the things too. So it was, I know everyone's heated. You got the adrenaline is flowing and you want to perform at the highest level. But, I think could have been handled a lot better, honestly. So, that's my two cents. I think there's a little bit more behind it. They're not going to probably tell us that. That's Andre's controversial side in that. But that's kind of my thoughts why he didn't get ejected, just because of the magnitude, obviously. So go ahead.
That was what it was because they've come out with it and they've got the bats. And, of course, they've been doing that. But Carolina's a chippy team anyway. And I know they were out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rumors about OBJ and his, sexuality. And I firmly believe they said those things to him. In that mindset to do that. That happens, but you still can't take a running start and just launch yourself at somebody. You can't do that. And I don't care how big you are, you can never do that. Nobody would have complained if he had got ejected, and Twitter roasted him for that. I just
But you gotta,
as hard as it may be, you gotta take the high road in that particular situation. I mean, guys been talking about players' mamas in the NFL for years. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, so you know, sexuality, your mama, something or whatever. Yeah. They've been doing that for years in the National Football
Open
League.
Season.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, we got about 4.5 minutes here. Let's kick it off here. Time is flying. I want to talk about Charles Woodson. He's retiring. Man, you talk about just one of the future Hall of Famers in the game. I'm hoping that he kind of gets a defensive touchdown, that's wishful thinking. But you talk about one of the great players to come out, and I don't know if you want to kind of comment, Rob, on Charles Woodson hitting his career. I mean, what a great player, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, definitely one of the best DBs of all time. From college, transitioning from college to the National Football League. So he's done it for, 18 years, which is incredible for that position. Typically, you know, after about in this day and age, at that particular position, you start seeing guys tail off, you know, somewhere around that 8 to 10 year range. The really great ones anyway. Obviously, they did help him out by moving him to safety and giving him some more years on his career. But still, that's a lot of longevity for that particular position. You just don't see that this day and age. So definitely hats off to him. We congratulate him from 12-Man Sports and on a great career. And they're actually thinking about playing him at wide receiver a little bit and doing some kick returning on tomorrow night just as kind of a treat to him, sending him out the right way, some of the things he used to do early in his career by playing multiple positions. So that should be something to look forward to on tomorrow night.
JQ, all you, my friend.
Yeah, not too much more to add on that. I mean, you know, he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, I've got mixed feelings. He's an Ohio boy, but he's also a traitor because he went to Michigan. But what he's done and the longevity in his career, I mean, it's just undeniable. And I think they're going to try to give him – I think you might be right, Dre. They're going to try to give him an end zone in every way imaginable tomorrow night. And I think that has actually given some much-needed must-see TV to this matchup if it didn't already have it.
Yeah, guys. I mean, I don't think we can understand everything. That's funny. You threw that little shot in there with Michigan, too. That was great, too. You know, it's just interesting, guys, and I want to kind of set the stage here because, you know, I was I think we were talking about this earlier, and we're going to set it up, Rob, we're going to kind of get you going with any shout-outs and get ready to close this out for the OT portion, too. I was looking at – I got to check out the draft. So I think it was him, Ryan Leaf, and somebody else that was in that draft, if I'm not mistaken. What was it, 2008 draft?
Peyton Manning.
There's another name, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, 1998 draft,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So just interesting, you know, obviously Peyton's still around and then, you know, Ryan Leaf, man, that's kind of, I almost feel sacrilegious putting him in that conversation with those two guys. But, man, just you talk about just an amazing situation here.
Peyton was pretty much the too.
Yeah. And, yeah, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Randy Moss in
more.
That draft, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy Moss is there too. Yeah, you know. But anyway, we'll talk about that too. All right.
Yeah.
Good. I know. I'm sorry. You're good. Yeah, you're good. We'll get to this one. Rob, you got about a minute 25 to set up OT and fantasy shout-out, so you can finish that out really quickly. That will be fantastic. I'll try to keep that in there. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and close out the show. We'll do the fantasy shout-outs in the OT portion since we're kind of short on time. But next week we'll be on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, JQ's got his Bengals on Monday night, so we're going to be on the air Tuesday night on next week. Y'all last show of 2015.
What?
It'll be our last show of 2015, ladies and gentlemen, so you definitely don't want to miss it. We'll be recapping some of these bowl games, getting you ready for the last weekend of the NFL and setting the stage for the playoffs, so you don't want to miss our show on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central. It'll be 8 p.m. for our friends in San Francisco and Los Angeles, so you definitely don't want to miss it on next week. We get ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't carry this portion of our show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow while y'all Christmas shopping. Put your earbuds in. Listen to the show. while you're walking through the mall shopping. So definitely, we still got some college football and some NFL to capture, so you don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
JQ?
Going back in the time machine, Michael J. Fox and the DeLorean, 1995. Yeah, absolutely. Stay classy, San Diego. Merry Christmas to everybody. Catch you next week.
Good night,
good
people.
Job,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all that fun stuff. We're officially in the OT portion. So, Rob, do you want to do the fantasy shout-outs now, or you want to just kind of kick it up with the other topics? I'm kind of leaving that on you, sir.
Oh, I'll go ahead and knock these fantasy shout-outs in real quick. Of course, this past weekend, we're still in the playoffs, and all of our leagues going into the championship week. So I'll just recap the playoffs and all of our leagues. In the league number one, Black and Gold Patrol, from the Atlanta area, 176.74 over the Bristol Bombers to his 121.04. And the Smoking Aces, Will from Madison, Wisconsin, got a 163.74 to 142.48 win over Big Fast and Strong. So Black and Gold Patrol will face the Smoking Aces in league number one for the championship. And league number two, Fleur de Lis, Matthew from Indianapolis with a 180 win over our co-host, the Ohio Players, 167.36. And, of course, turned down from New Orleans with a 197.24 win over the Pellies to Pellies 184.06. So Fleur de Lis and Turned Down will face each other for the League Two championship. And last but not least, the league number three, Turn Up from New Orleans, 138.40 over Winning. Winning had been undefeated all season, but loses in the playoffs. Loses 138.40 to 125.66. And yours truly, 12th man records, Robert here, 169.86 for the win over Saints Pelicans, 161.86. So I'll be facing Turned Up for the championship in league number three this coming weekend. And fantasy basketball, the biggest win, my co-host, Ohio Players, another big win, 7-1 over Anthony Davis, the new number 23. And then first place in fantasy basketball, Saints Pelicans 23, Ronald from New Orleans holding down first place. So those are our fantasy shout-outs. Appreciate everyone playing, having fun with us.
Our fantasy seasons and leagues are dumb. I scored 167 points and was the number one seed and lost by 13 points. That's ridiculous.
But check this out, man. The other guy who lost too scored in the same league you lost. The other guy scored 184.6 and lost too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He scored more than you and lost.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just like, wait a minute. I can't even really be all that mad. He scored 184 points and lost? Man, our stuff is dumb. So let you know that we do a good job of picking teams and having fun with our fantasy leagues where you can score 167 points and be fourth.
So that was actually a very – when you look at that league, you saw four teams that actually put up some high numbers and going head-to-head. So that was some pretty stiff competition.
I think we're going to have to put some money in and then kind of like whoever gets the highest points for the week or something gets something because I'm with – or we got to do both, like points and the matchup because I hate losing – leaving all those points on the board like that, man. So that's just – that's something we'll have to think about next year, Rod, honestly. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to look at that. It's a little challenging, but I know we tried that a little bit last season, but we'll have to see how we can make that happen.
Let's talk about it. All right, so good call. Thank you, Rob, for recapping the fantasy shout-outs there. Let's keep it going here. Where are we at here? Okay, I'm trying to make sure we got enough time to fit all these bowl games in here, man, because Lord have mercy, we got enough to talk about. I really want to talk about two things here. And just be brief, guys. Your NFL MVP after Week 15, Rob Port. What do you think, sir?
Well, if you want me to be brief, I'm just going to say Cam Newton.
Nice.
Three touchdowns. Right. I know he's got 10 INTs. He's got about 3,500 yards passing, over 500-some yards rushing. And I know he's got some rushing TDs in there, too. It's a three-horse race of Brady and Palmer, but it's Newton.
Go ahead, JQ.
This is for a brief. Ditto.
Awesome. I was making sure we had enough time. We got a lot of stuff. Same boat, same boat. RG3, man, you talk about somebody that's been, like, on the missing persons list. Hello. Hey, I've been praising him for the way he's been handling his role. Have you heard anything about this, JQ, or is this something that something Rob has been kind of keeping tabs on here? What do you think about this?
Hey, yeah, this is all Rob because I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. What else can he really do right now? I mean, Kirk Cousins is keeping them in the playoff run. So, okay, yeah, go sit down. Give me a water, sir. You know, I don't know.
That's funny. I love it, JQ. Rob, what's up with that, Rob? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Kirk First Cousins is having a solid year, 22 TDs, 11 INTs. So he's holding down the fourth. And but obviously, this is going to be RG3's last year in Washington. I know he's due $16 million next season. He won't be with the Redskins. There's about four teams that are showing interest in him right now. And so he'll get another opportunity, whether it be a backup or a starting position. We'll have to wait and see. And but, you know, he does have some interest out there. And so we'll see where it leads going into next season.
Redskins will look different next year for sure. All right, we got 10 minutes, guys. All right.
Yeah, Kirk First Cousins 49. Playing solid.
Good job, First Cousins. That was pretty good, Rob. Will the 49ers keep Jim Tomsula as a head coach, JQ?
I mean, they set him up to fail, so they can only do right by giving him a year with a semblance of a full team to see if he can actually be a head coach. I mean, he never had a chance this year with what happened with the retirements and the losses in the free agency and Colin Kaepernick disaster. He never had a chance.
Wow. So is that a yes? You think they're going to keep him around is what it sounds like, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Rob Ford.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him at least one more year here on this deal. They're going to try to give him another year to possibly succeed and see what they can do to improve their roster. And but, yeah, if he doesn't do it, gets it done next year, I can see him getting the axe.
Interesting here. This is off the cuff. Sean Payton, will he still be coaching the Saints next year? You hear some rumors about Dallas and other things. What's the deal, Rob? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say he's still going to be with the Saints. I know
that's
it's kind of 50-50 right now, but I'm going to say yes.
You want him back as a coach?
I'm going to say at this point, unless you can give me Bill Belichick, then I'll keep Sean Payton. I don't see Belichick leaving New England.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right. Okay. That was kind of totally off the cuff, so good job. I keep hearing some rumors here. Just a quick update really quickly here. The GoDaddy Bowl, Georgia Southern, just put a whipping on Bowling Green. You know, they were running all over them. So good job. Congrats to Georgia Southern getting that win in the GoDaddy Bowl. That was a pretty interesting game to watch.
58,
as well.
That quarterback, Upshaw, was running 58. Like he was shot out of a cannon.
I messed with JQ
about picking the Jets early this season, but I got to give him credit for picking Georgia Southern. So, I joke, but I give you credit, too, when the credit is due.
hey, I appreciate
good
it,
job.
Bro.
Go ahead and gloat, JQ. You want to gloat about that? Anything else you want to gloat about with that one, sir?
Not necessarily, but, you know, it goes back to the level of competition. When Georgia Southern went into Athens and gave Georgia all they could handle, I don't care what's really happening with Georgia. The talent level is going to be different between the two, and they went there and they gave them everything they could handle into overtime. That was nothing to pick Georgia Southern.
Mm. Good call. Make a look at it. All right, I'm going to save the other things here, and I'm going to save Saban, and we'll talk about.
Oh, you said it right the first time.
Let's get these bowl predictions going, gentlemen. We got a lot of bowls to go over, and I do want to talk about LeBron and his son playing at the NFL and NBA at the same time. That's pretty interesting. All right, St. Petersburg Bowl. We got Connecticut at Marshall. Go ahead, Rob. Kick it up. We got to be quick here. But
I'm going to go Marshall. I got one of the best defensive players in the country, in Evan McKelvey, 113 tackles. Doc Holliday has been very successful in bowl games. I like Marshall.
Anything you want to say, JQ?
Ditto.
Sun Bowl, Miami, Florida versus Washington State. Rob?
I like Washington State. They're getting the quarterback Luke Falk back. And Mike Leach has been very successful in their passing offense. I like Washington State over Miami.
What? JQ?
Yeah, I like Miami. Washington State has never seen the speed probably collectively that Miami's going to put on them. Even in a down state, Miami speed is going to be too much for Washington State. I'm taking Miami in the high
school game. Oh, just do an upset. Love it. The Heart of Dallas, Washington versus Southern Mississippi. Brett Favre's alma mater. Rob.
I like Washington here. Miles Gaskin has been running the ball really good. They have a very solid defense. They won the Apple Cup and beat Washington State. I know Washington State didn't have Luke Falk, but I still like Washington in this game.
5 minutes to go, JQ.
Yep, me too.
The Pinstripe Bowl, Duke versus Indiana. David Cutler's bringing his squad in there. What do you think about this one, Rob?
I'm going to go with Duke. They started off 6-1, 3-0 in the ACC. They slumped to the finish, but I think they rebound and win this game.
JQ?
I'm going to go with the Big Ten. I'm going to go with Indiana and that offense. It's going to be not a lot of defense probably played in that game, but I think Indiana pulls it out in the end.
You knew he was going to go Big Ten with that, Rob. You knew that. You saw that. I saw that one coming
a
mile away, man.
Thinking with your heart or your head?
Both.
Heart.
Both.
All right.
I saw that all the way. Independence Bowl, Tulsa at Virginia Tech. Rob.
This one's been really tough for me here. So I think Tulsa's got a really good chance in this game, but I'm going to pick Virginia Tech. I just think a lot of emotion. Frank Beamer's last game as head coach in Virginia, and actually the very first bowl game they went to as a head coach, he was at the Independence Bowl, and that's where he's going to end his career. And but I like Beamer just from the emotional standpoint. But I think this game is closer than a lot of people think.
JQ?
Me too.
Me too. This is a pretty interesting matchup, one of the better matchups, I would say. The Foster Farms Bowl, I have no idea what that's about, Foster Farms. Anyway,
no, it's crazy. Nebraska too many bowls.
Versus UCLA. What were you saying, JQ?
Yeah,
I said too many bowls.
Yeah, that was Rob. Yeah, this would be a great bowl game if it was like 1986. Programs on the down swing. So yeah, I mean to say it right. You know, it's like Troy Aikman and Tommy Frazier.
I'm gonna go
with Nebraska. I like the quarterback. I just lost his name. And even UCLA has a really good quarterback. I just don't believe in a lot of West Coast football. I'm just going to put that out there. And I'm going to go with the Big Ten again because you saw that coming. I'm going to go with Nebraska.
Wow. Even though Nebraska's 5-7.
I'm 5-7. I'm going to Nebraska.
I'm going to go with UCLA on this one. I'm going to go with Jim Mora. And I think you made a good point about Miami's team speed. I think UCLA – we have the speed advantage in this game or with Josh Rosen at quarterback.
I don't believe it's anymore.
That's hilarious. Nice. The Military Bowl, Navy at Pittsburgh. This is a pretty interesting matchup, too. Go ahead and kick it off, Rob.
I'm going to go with Navy and Keenan Reynolds, running and throwing a football.
Nice. Okay, cool. Quick Lane Bowl, Central Michigan versus Minnesota, Rob.
Well, we know JQ is going to pick Minnesota because it's a Big Ten. but Minnesota, and he hates Michigan. Anything out of Michigan, he hates. So.
Yes, sir.
Hey, but even though Minnesota is 5-7, I still think this is a slight upset, and I'm going to go with Central Michigan.
Rob already made my pick. You know what it is. He's right.
I was like,
the Big Ten going to win every bowl game.
Hey, man.
Oh, man. Big Ten versus Big Ten. Big Ten. 2 minutes, hey. Guys. Armed Forces Bowl. California. I'm trying to get through all these. California Air Force, real quickly, Rob.
I'm going to go with Cal or with Jared Goff at the quarterback position. This guy's going to be a top five pick in the draft. But I think it's going to be a very close game. This was a tough one for me to pick because I like this Air Force team, too.
Go ahead, JQ.
Me too.
North Carolina Baylor, Russell Athletic Bowl, Rob.
I like UNC. I like Marquise Williams at the quarterback position. I think they gave Clemson all they can handle. I like North Carolina.
Great game.
Me too. Too many injuries for Baylor, North Carolina.
Texas Bowl, Rob. LSU versus Texas Tech. What do you think?
I'm going to go with LSU for the simple fact that Texas Tech is, like, near the bottom on run defense. And I think, towards the end of the season, LSU, the offensive line and the running game started getting a little shaky. But they came alive on the last game of the season against Texas A&M. I think they pound Texas A&M with running the football. I mean Texas Tech, I'm sorry.
JQ.
Me too. Me too.
Finally, Arizona Bowl-Nevada. That's Nevada versus Colorado State. Rob.
I like Colorado State. Now, they run a very nice pro-style offense, and I like them in their passing game.
Me too. I'm going with Rob.
Fellas had a great